You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yes, it is the APC podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com. That's what that stands for, APC, part of SB Nation. Your source for all things Green Bay Packers, even now, right now, Wednesday, July 29th, in all of this COVID craziness. I am Zach Rapport, coming to you from my home office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are going to talk NFL players opting out, including Devin Funchess, and what that means for the season, and if there should be a season. And Aaron Rodgers said some things in a microphone, so we might as well talk about that as well. We'll see where the show takes us. To do all that with me, I am joined out on the East Coast by Alex Patakis, who is giving me a face, which means he's not recording yet.
I am now, just in time.
There we are. Yes, Alex.
Yeah, at the buzzer. I don't know why I just totally blanked on that, but I realized that this was happening. Indeed.
Not good audio, but I have to point out that your hair is righteous. It's got good altitude right now.
Yeah, I really let it go. It has been trimmed within the last 2 weeks by a professional, actually, but it's largely just, this is like, you know, what is it, like 5 months or 4 months or something of just sprouting up. So and I started with a blank canvas, which was cool. So now it's just like, really, I'm just really letting it go.
Just feeling your oats, feeling your hair oats.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
nice.
Certainly
I'm feeling my oats over here, just a unemployed man in a lonely home office drinking a beer at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday.
I was gonna join you in that. I typically do. Last week I did. Today I went with our favorite, although I don't know if you like the watermelon flavor.
I've literally never seen that flavor before. LaCroix, we're talking about.
Yes, yeah, the sparkling water, which, again, just if you ever feel like you may need to do a Mike McCarthy impression, I highly suggest these or any other carbonated beverage.
I feel like particularly, though, the LaCroix is like instant burp fabricator. It just happens.
I agree. What, much more than anything else. I'm not a big soda person, but like occasionally I'll mix in like a Coke Zero because I just crave something like that. It doesn't do it the same. This, however, instantaneously gives you the old McCarthy, like, swallow your burps before they just escape your mouth involuntarily type thing. So not that that's on our itinerary for the show today, but if McCarthy did need to be busted out, it would be a good day for it.
I just love that we're still at a place where we can make the McCarthy references.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Yeah, I'm not over. I'm not done. My time with him is not done. I'm not like ready for that to just be totally through. Man, remember him at the draft? That was so awesome. That was like the last like content of any kind that was really like relevant and we were able to consume. You know, that wasn't.
Yep.
Although I guess, you know, if you like baseball, you're watching some of those games now. But who knows how long you're going to get to do that if things keep happening the way that they are happening.
Yeah. And if you sense us stalling out there, guys, it's because we are a little bit, because as we touched on, Alex, you and I, in our little pre-episode chat, there's really, not only is there like stuff happening, but not really stuff happening, but there's also this general confusion about what's happening when, or if anything's happening, should it be happening? I mean, even people who are really plugged in, like, are camp starting? Are players reporting? I don't know. So why don't we just start with that and players deciding, now that the NFLPA and the NFL have come to an agreement on COVID protocols and, All that fun stuff. What football could look like, and the league offering up to players sort of an opt-out scheme. And a couple days ago, we wondered, oh, maybe a player or two will take this. That'll be interesting. And then, Alex, as you and I texted as the days went on, the names started to pile up. I don't think as of yet there's any superstar names, but it's almost at 30 now, which is almost a player, a team, kind of falling like dominoes. On the Packers, Devin Funchess is opting out for the season. And there's been some mixed reactions on Twitter about that, because obviously the Packers sort of, the fans' perspective, I believe, is that the Packers kind of should have invested more in wide receiver. They didn't, but they got Devin Funchess, so they're happy with what they got. Plus, they got Funchess. Now they just got what they got, and they don't have Funchess, and they missed out on all those rookie wide receivers. And I don't know. How do you feel?
I mean, it's definitely worse than having Devin Funchess.
It's worse, right?
I mean, I would say that. I, you know, no one in the world, I think, could have slash did plan appropriately for a pandemic that would put, you know, pretty much the entire calendar year of 2020 in question. So I can't necessarily blame, like,
good thing it's still March though, so we got a long way to go.
Yeah, my frustration with the lack of depth at receiver has it's, put it this way, Devin Funchess not opting out would not change the way I feel about the position that much.
Yeah,
I was already, you know, kind of a little disappointed in the lack of bodies, good ones added. Like, just quality proven football players at that position. But yeah, it's definitely worse. You know, it's not like they could have anticipated this. And also, there, you know, people who are like, oh man, see, I told you they should have done this, that, and the other. Like, I agree, they should have. You know, and it's my opinion that there's a lot to be desired in that position group. However, what if they drafted a guy and he opted out? You know, or, you know, like, you know, what if somebody else opted out? Yep. Or what if another receiver after this opts out, and all of a sudden, I don't know, it's just like impossible to plan for any of this stuff.
Yeah. And so for anyone who doesn't know, if a player opts out just because they would rather not take the risk, I believe it's $150,000. That's essentially a loan from a salary they would be paid in the following year. And I think if it's a medical exemption, if they fall into a category where they are high risk, which we should talk about, a lot of NFL players actually do, and then they opt out, then I think it's $350,000. Is that right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it is interesting, and we were talking about this a little bit on the APC Slack chat. There's a number of sort of, I guess, for lack of a better term, coming to my mind right now, we'll call pre-existing conditions, things that make you more high risk for COVID-19 and for a rough battle if you do get it. And a lot of NFL players fall into that category. I mean, you know, I think we like to think of these guys as like elite athletes, and certainly they are. But the things that a lot of these guys have to put their bodies through to get ready to play long term are, you know, risky and not good for their health, and make them more susceptible to things like this.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, so I don't fault anyone who would choose to opt out. I mean, the option is there for a reason, right? Maybe the NFL didn't anticipate kind of a wave of players opting out, but I don't think that I don't think that baseball has done the NFL any favors. If the NFL's goal is to get players on the field playing games as smoothly as possible, you know, that I would think that there's more people who have to be doubting the ability to do that now, having seen what's happened in baseball. You know, Florida being a hotbed, the Miami Marlins happen to be a team that had a lot of guys test positive. I mean, and the fact that they're traveling, you know, from city to city, I think is what really brings this into question. I you know, so far, there's been players in the NBA that have tested positive, yes. But they're, you know, that concept of like, let's just go finish this thing in a bubble, I think is the only, to me, it seems like the almost only way to do this, right? And I don't think that a bubble means that the NFL would be safe, and I don't even know that that could really happen. Like, I don't know, like, who has the infrastructure for that, you know? 16 football fields, like, to be able to be played on, or like, even if you stagger the games, like, less is a little bit different than kind of putting these guys in a bunch of gyms in Disney. But basically, like, my, you know, I think one of the things that I saw was people kind of get, you know, trying to say, like, well, like, other countries have pulled things off, right? Like, most European soccer leagues, save for France, which made the decision extremely early to just call it off, were able to resume, right, without any fans in attendance, and were able to resume, like, playing in home stadiums with very, very little interference from, or, like, in terms of, like, anybody testing positive. Like, that's kind of the model, right, that everybody should be striving for. But the thing is, like, you know, we our federal government has not done enough to make that a possibility for us, where you feel like it's, you know, even remotely safe. Because the second that our country decided to handle this on the state level, traveling from state to state made things kind of weird, man. Like, I don't feel comfortable going to Florida.
It became like traveling
now.
From country to country,
exactly,
in Europe.
Exactly. And they're not doing that. And the only tournaments in which they are doing that, in, you know, in the Champions League, you know, the biggest European league, and you know, basically anything that's like continent wide, they're doing the bubble model, and they're all just going to Lisbon, and it's like everybody's tested before you get in, and you're coming into this country, and you're not interacting with pretty much anybody but your teammates until you leave this country and the people that you're playing, obviously. But it was easy to do that domestically when an entire country was kind of on board with the same idea of how to handle the virus. And maybe I'm just not well read enough about the way things went down in Italy, England, and all these other places. I understand the virus was very bad, but I'm under the impression that there didn't need to be a debate about whether or not masks are helpful or harmful, you know, those places, you know, and that shit matters when it comes to getting your sport back on track. So I think I said, like, we said offhand and just getting a little frustrated last week on the podcast, like, we haven't earned this right. If this falls apart and players are like, I'm not just doing that, like, I'm just not doing this, it's because we haven't earned it. Like, and we don't deserve it. Literally, we don't deserve football right now. So in a way, it's almost like I'm not glad that it's looking like it would be hard to pull off, but I'm just like, I'm at peace with, like, if we don't have it this season, it's because of the way it was handled. And that's just like exactly how it should be, because safety needs to come first. So anyway, that's my little rant.
There's two situations in which we kind of go off the rails here. And that is, you know, we get partway into the season and it becomes untenable. There's outbreaks, there's, you know, whatever, people are getting sick on a big scale, and it is not sustainable. Or enough players, that is, opt out to where we get into, like, scab territory, and it's like, what is the product that we're putting on the field? I mentioned earlier that I think it's 28 or 29 players as we record this, 4:10 p.m. Mountain Time on Wednesday, July 29th. What is the tipping point, do you think, where like, what is that number where it's like enough players, or is it really just enough big name players, or what is the sort of calculus there before the league says their hand is really forced to say we can't do this? Or is there no situation in which they don't do it and they're like, we'll put whatever on the field, as they had historically done at one point?
Right. Sadly, I do think the names and the status of the players probably do matter a little bit. You know, to some degree, it's almost like if it were a laundry list of high profile quarterbacks, you feel like almost they would be like more willing to listen, or, you know, to really rethink whether or not playing this season is a good idea. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe it is just a really high number of high profile players that would make this season, like, being played without them just feel like it's kind of a cheapo version of itself anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I don't really know if I see that happening. I'm actually surprised. There are already, like, some very good players who have done this, right? And I think that's why it was, like, such a whoa thing at first. Like, the Patriots had a number of guys who are, like, pretty key guys for them. And then everyone's like, well, what are they on to?
A lot of teams have, like, either between 0 and 2 players who have opted out, and the Patriots stand tall above the rest, as they often do. However, in this category, we're not talking Super Bowls. We are talking players who have opted out. Patrick Chung, Dont'a Hightower, Marcus Cannon, Brandon Bolden, Danny Vitale, and Najee Torin. Sorry if I mispronounced that last name, but that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players on there too. That's a meaningful stash of players.
Yeah. And 2 pretty high profile defensive players at least. And then 1 very, very skilled fullback H-back that will be missed in Green Bay. And I say that only because had he still been there, we wouldn't have wasted a fucking third round pick on a player at that position.
Wow, tell us how you really feel about Josiah DeGuara.
Man, I wish him the best. I do. I know nothing about him as a human. I understand he could be a good player, but in terms of draft capital, man, that one's still really, really puzzling. Yeah, I don't know what the tipping point is, man. It's just like it's like almost everything else in life right now. It's day by day. You know, it's like as stupid as that is to say. I just don't see like how it can be accomplished safely. You know, you're taking a lot of obviously risk, but like by playing this season out, you're in some ways you're just willing to accept that at some point, like some of these guys are going to get sick.
Yeah,
you know,
and a few of them would get really sick, I would think.
Yeah, and that's tough for me to just accept, yeah, you know, yeah. Just like the nature of it. Have you seen like those things online? I remember I opened Twitter once and like, you know how there's always these, like these classic shots of like the, you know, kind of like in the trenches, like before the snap of like all the breath of like guys from like both sides, yes, of the line of scrimmage, just like their breaths. Like, you know, it's like, how do you do football in a way that's safe? Like the very idea of a huddle is like a huge violation of social distancing. Let's all stand really close together and speak really loud. I don't know.
Well, you almost took the setup right out of my mouth, but I was going to tee up a bit of an op-ed that our own Chris Burke wrote for acmepackingcompany.com, and I highly encourage everyone to go check it out. But he's basically saying in this piece, if we look in our heart of hearts, we know that football should not happen, and it's time that we admit that. And halfway down the article, there's a picture of, I think it's Steelers Baltimore, like in the middle of, you know, December, one of those classic right down the line of scrimmage shots, yeah, offensive line, defensive line. And it's just like, it's an exact parallel of all those graphics of like why wearing a mask works. And it's just like spray. Everyone's just spraying on each other. It's just this cloud. And, yeah, you know, in my current frame of mind, I was just immediately like, oh, look at all that virus.
Yeah, I know. Kudos to him. I mean, I think Chris is dead on with that. And I think that's kind of where I'm at, and maybe why I just sound like I'm just talking in circles. But I've just kind of accepted that, like, it very well could happen. Am I going to watch it? Yes. I'm not going to take some crazy, huge, like, moral stand, because, like, there's already enough things wrong with football and I'm still watching it. Yep. So at this point, like, what does that say about me? Yep. But, I don't know that there's anything that they can do to this point that will change my mind on whether or not it should happen.
Yeah.
Right. And I just don't think those types of developments can happen quick enough. Like with this virus in general, like globally, you know, yeah. Like no one will feel, it would take a vaccine almost. Yeah. Right. Like at this point, or people being so diligent that this thing basically nearly dies off, and that's just not where we are. And I lose faith every day that we're going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I am with you. I agree. I can also see another argument, like from the players. I know that Aaron Rodgers says stuff like this all the time, but you know, he knows the risks of football, and granted, like, yeah, a crazy virus is not what they signed up for, but they know that there is risk involved in playing, and you know, enough of them, especially big name players, will sign on for the season, then we'll get a product on the field. And, you know, like you said, it's, you know, we can hem and haw and go back and forth. And I think we are in agreement that, like, it, you know, like in a perfect world, it doesn't happen. It probably shouldn't happen, but it's a drug and I'm addicted, and I'll see you in September.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, I understand that they know the risks too, but I mean, like, CTE is not contagious.
Yes.
Right. Like, it has to be transmitted by many violent collisions to the head.
a fair counterpoint.
I think that a lot of people who would opt out also would be doing so in a way to like protect their families, right?
Totally.
People that they're going to inevitably see. Like you could say, oh, you know, we're going to like be distanced and all that stuff. But like the NBA is in a bubble. And I already forgot what player it was, but someone was out at a strip club.
Yep. What are you doing?
You know, like he was like having lunch at a strip. Like it's inevitable. I'm telling you. Like
it just makes you want to like flick that person's forehead. Like you, what are you doing?
Yeah, like you're just opening the door to all those possibilities. Yeah. Are there going to be some people who will be very safe and may even say, you know what, to earn this money to play football, like I'm not going to see my family for this amount of time or whatever it might be. Sure. But are there going to be people who are like, nah, man, I'm good. And like, of course there are. And that's, you know, that's the problem with it. That's the problem behind everybody, anything that's like a violation of like the actual like guidelines right now.
Yep.
It's the same reason there's people out at the beach. There's a lot of people not at the beach, right? But then there's a shit ton of people at concerts and hanging out, drinking on the beach. It's just like, oh, I'm good, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's true. I mean, what you said reminds me of, I think now Eagles wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, who is opting out for the season and told, I think on social media, this just very heart-wrenching story of, he and his partner have a young baby. They've been trying for a while. There have been miscarriages. It's just been a really tough thing for them, and it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to go get COVID and spread it to your family. And I know that really resonated with me. That's the human side of things.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't want to sound like someone who's rooting against it happening too, because I do understand that, like, especially in times like this, people are looking for something, right? Like that's why we miss sports so much. Like we just need something that's not the coronavirus and not like news that's going to depress you to look forward to consume like some type of content, you know, something that gives you that release. But
I'm simultaneously super excited about football and I think things will go wrong and it probably shouldn't happen, but I'm just like, football, give me something that isn't, you know, my house for the last several months.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. That's sad.
Yeah. No, it's just you know, it's just the reality. Love my family. Would like to watch some football though.
Sure would. So
don't think it should happen. You know, it's that we contain multitudes, complicated species between the ears. On that note, Why don't we just move on? Because, you know, we'll do a show next week and we'll probably be in the same boat talking about why there should or should not be football. We put out on Twitter earlier this morning at the ABC Pod on Twitter is where you can find us, just sort of asking, hey, we're doing a show. So like, hey, what should we talk about? And our good buddy, Not Ryan, tweeted at us and he said, hey, maybe let's take a 3-minute excerpt from a longer interview and build a clickbaity narrative around it. Because the offseason is dark and full of shit internet content. And what he's referring to there, thank you for that, by the way, Not Ryan, is, of course, Aaron Rodgers giving an interview where, you know, much has been made in the last few days. I think as Not Ryan or Not Ryan alluded to, probably because there's not really much anything else to talk about. But, you know, it's just Aaron Rodgers, again, recounting the story of the draft and his initial reactions and how much scotch, or in this case tequila, he was drinking and the day after and all this stuff. And I don't know, I just came away feeling like there's like all these articles about it and it just sparked all this debate because people were so just clamoring for things to talk about. But ultimately I don't feel like he said anything that wasn't already said, and I'm speaking, of course, about him being open about sort of coming to that realization of like, it seems like it's 50-50 or maybe 40-60 or 60-40 that I don't end my career with the Packers, and that's something I have to acknowledge now. And I don't like, that's fun to talk about, but it didn't feel newsworthy to me. I don't know.
Yeah, to me it was still a shock. You know, to maybe it's not like it's maybe not news. Worthy, but noteworthy. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
But he
it, right?
said it's that like, before, right? Am I making that up?
I mean, I don't think that we've had a chance, at least I've had a chance, to hear him speak so candidly and on video and sound so at peace with the idea that they are just going to move on from him.
Yeah.
Like, the follow-up you know, where he basically all but stopped short of talking about his time with the Packers in the past tense. Mm. And to me, that is kind of newsworthy, right? Like for a guy who says he wants to play his whole career, like that part stung. And to me, like, I don't, you know, I agree. It doesn't need to be clickbaity, but I think for anyone who's invested in this team, that's like something you watch and you're going to feel something because it just became even more real.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he hasn't said stuff like that. And the writing is obviously on the wall. I was on the wall when they made the pick, but, you know, for him to be just like, that's how it is. The likely scenario is they move on from me. I did want to play my whole career here, so it's a bummer. Like that, I don't know. Like that to me, that felt like something.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in that there was that sort of tangible, you know, sting a little bit listening to it. Like, oh, but that to me, that's just like the reminder that that's the reality, and I didn't feel like it was anything new. But I definitely, I don't know. I take your point. I saw Aaron Nagler tweet out to him the most newsworthy thing about it was that he was switched from scotch to tequila.
as he said, wasn't he drinking? I don't know if it was scotch or tequila actually in the interview, but it looked like something. I mean, it might not have been an alcoholic beverage.
He did at some point take a sip of something that looked like a chilled brown alcohol.
Yeah, which could be tequila because I hate tequila. But if he's talking about sipping tequila, if he means like those tequilas that I think just like the longer it's aged, right, the darker it gets. Yep. Some of those are pretty tolerable. They end up just tasting more like a scotch anyway. I'm willing to bet that's how he's easing into the tequila game. I don't see him. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, I guess maybe that is part of the interesting part of that piece. I thought it was funny, though, because I think one of the most Aaron Rodgers things about it. He's really one of my favorite things that I'll miss about him when we're analyzing Jordan Love 3-minute clips from the internet instead of Rodgers ones is he's so when he gets to like listing things off, I just love it. Like, and I know he only named maybe like 3 receivers or something like that, but I'm willing to bet that he could have spent like 10 straight minutes just like rolling through his like mental Rolodex of receivers that he thought could have landed in Green Bay.
He stopped short on purpose.
And he just, yeah. And I also think he like, I mean, I understand that these guys play for other teams now, but I also think he like used language like, oh, I think he might have gone to Minnesota. You know, that kid, this kid. Like, I understand that Rodgers has bigger fish to fry than like knowing every prospect in the draft. I really do believe that. Like, the, you know, we'll meet them when they get here. But I just feel like there was something about the way he was listing those guys. Like if he wanted to give you their height, their 40 time, their alma mater, you know, like which I already gave you, their name, their middle name, their parents' names, the weird fact that ESPN put up on the screen about them that was heartbreaking about their biggest childhood trauma, he probably could have remembered and recalled all of that in that interview if he wanted to. He knows how it would look if he's just listing off all these guys. Like, it would have looked like he was actually invested in them getting a receiver, totally. Which he clearly freaking was and was hoping for it. Oh, man. Anyway. I wonder who was on his list of FaceTime calls that night because he said he spent most of the night FaceTiming and drinking. That must have been fun to be one of the people on the other end of that call with an Aaron Rodgers who's like, screw this, I'm getting drunk.
Probably, let's see, Jermichael Finley, Greg Jennings, Tyler Dunn. 4-way Google chat. No, it's probably like Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Mark Tauscher, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I wonder if Mike McCarthy texted him. He was, or was he like too consumed with the Cowboys draft, which was a pretty sexy draft. And all those Gatorade cups that are holding all of his items.
Does Mike McCarthy, when he texts, does he insert like asterisk, burp, asterisk, like right in the middle of a sentence or no?
I think so. Actually, you know what else I could see with Mike McCarthy? I could see him being a narrate to texter and like his phone not really knowing what to do with those pauses and those like burps and those kind of those noises. So it'd be really hard to read, but he doesn't give a shit. He's still going to send it anyway. That's how my mom is. I mean, she doesn't burp and make noises, but like it's so clear to see which texts she wrote out with her fingers And when she's narrating, I'm sure that I could see McCarthy being that way.
McCarthy, though, doesn't strike me as the kind of guy to use the like dictatorial
the
technology.
Features
yeah, the features. Yeah. But I could be wrong. You know, he's got some children. Anyway, show him the ropes.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, yeah, maybe you're right. I just like the idea of him dictating to text. I really just miss him talking. That's all. That's all that comes down
yeah,
to.
Me too. I'm just scrolling the Rolodex here to see if we can come up with one more topic before we go our separate ways for another week. Oh, I did notice the NFL Top 100 came out because that's, you know, more crap that we need to talk about. Rodgers was 16, I think, which feels fine.
Pretty good for an 89 in Madden.
Hey. Bing.
Or 90. Did we ever settle that? Did anyone?
We didn't settle it.
No.
Let's see. Madden. Google break. It looks like it's officially 90 now.
Okay.
So says Madden-school.com. I haven't played a football video game in like a decade, so I don't know what the reliable source is here.
They're listening to our feedback, our backlash.
Yep, yep.
And they've raised his overall by a point.
But I saw as well Aaron Jones getting some love, was 33 on the list. And I don't think that Davante Adams was on the list. I don't think he was on the top 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Criminally underappreciated.
I like them apples.
Yeah, just strange.
I have to take that back. I believe he's on the list.
No, he's gonna be like,
number four.
Super high.
No, he's number crazy. He's number 57. So the article that I read mysteriously left him out for some reason. Sorry, people. I know, like the 30 seconds that we were just talking, as if he wasn't on the list. People are like yelling at their phones. He's there, you idiots.
Yeah.
Be professional.
Is Adam Thielen ahead of him?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, the off season. All right, man. Well, I don't know what else we're going to talk about. I think theoretically, training camp has begun, whatever that means. Time is a flat circle, and I guess there should be some testing protocols starting right now before players actually get in the building. But maybe next week there will be some actual things to discuss. And we did get some, again, I mentioned earlier on Twitter, at the APC Pod, we put out a request for topic ideas, and we got some stuff that was roster centric, and I wanted to stay away from that right now just because we don't know who at the end of the day is going to be opting out and just what the training camp looks like, if it's a thing that's going to happen. And you know, there will be time for those conversations. Certainly someone like Devin Funchess opting out impacts things in the Packers locker room. So there will be time for that going forward, but it did not feel like today was that time. And with that, I'm just going to hit the polka. I don't know. You got anything else, Alex?
Nope. I'm cool with polka.
All right. Well, I'm cool with polka too. I love that we end the show with a polka.
Me too.
I miss Ben Foldy. We'll get him back on the show here. But I believe the polka was his idea. Even this exact polka. Of course, Ben Foldy knew a specific polka that he wanted to play.
Nice. Yeah, I miss him too. We gotta get him on here. I don't even know what state he's in, like what times.
Yeah, he's
like,
volleying back between New York and Michigan, and in varying states of not having his recording equipment with him, slash being very busy with work. And as we have just prattled on about for the past 35 minutes, there's nothing to talk about anyway. So, but it would be good to see his face and hear his, nihilistic takes on everything.
Yeah,
we need some Foldy back on the pod. All right, guys. Well, hope you enjoyed the show. At the APC Pod on Twitter, at Alex Patakis, at Zach Rapport, and keep it locked in here for more 30-minute installments of Let's Just Talk About Nothing until there's something to talk about. Go Pack, go.